Hey everybody, welcome into another episode of Comics Experience's Make Comics podcast. My name is Joey Groh and I am joined by Andy Schmidt. Hello Andy.
Hey Joey. Yeah, what's up?
We have an interesting question this go around that I hear from a lot of folks as far as art goes. I think it probably can spread to more than art, but maybe for the purpose of this discussion, we'll hang a little bit more on art. So this comes from Seth. I recently decided to dive into the comics industry. My motivation and creativity is on an upswing, and I'm doing a lot of writing. I'm a member of the Creators Workshop and can't wait to start sharing my work with others. One of my concerns, while splashing around in the kiddie pool of the industry, is protecting my work. I'm very excited to start collaborating with others to push toward a finished product, but I'm concerned with my work possibly being passed on as someone else's. Do you have any suggestions for artists of all types to protect what they have worked so hard at developing? Thanks, Seth. Protecting your work.
Protecting your work. Yeah, well, from a legal standpoint, the best way to protect the work is get it registered with the copyright office in the government. I mean, that gives you a pretty clear path. You know, it's not too expensive. It's not that hard. You should be able to figure it out fairly easily. Just using a search engine, just search for copyright protection and, you know, you'll get there pretty quickly. It's not that difficult to do. There is an expense. I can't remember what it is, but it's not that high, as I recall. That's probably from a legal standpoint, that's probably the best thing that you can do. I mean, once it's registered with the copyright office. But there are a couple things to sort of bear in mind. One is that you can't copyright an idea. So if it's a very short document, you know, there's a reason you can't copyright ideas. You can copyright a particular specific execution of an idea. So a thought out character, a story with specific beats and turns and blah, blah, blah. You can copyright that. But again, the more specific it is, the stronger the protection. So that's the number one thing. But I'll say this, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I can't give legal advice, but my advice would be go talk to a lawyer. so that's sort of the thing about protecting your work. But I think the key thing to address on that when it comes to protecting your work and it being passed off to someone else is, in my experience, and, you know, I cannot speak for everyone because there are crooks out there, but in my experience, people that want to be creators don't want to create someone else's thing. They want to create their own thing. And the other thing that I see a lot of, at least in the communities I'm involved, the creative communities I'm involved in, is a lot of people helping each other. And in helping each other, they find that they're actually helping themselves too. So a lot of times, you know, a lot of what we do on the workshop is critiquing each other's work and saying, hey, how about this? How about that? And a lot of what happens when you're critiquing someone else's work is you'll see something in somebody else's work and you'll realize there's a related idea or a related situation on something that you're working on or have worked on. And you're like, oh, that's actually the piece that I need for my thing. Now, you didn't get there looking at your thing. You got stuck looking at your thing because right. You're too close to it. When you see somebody doing something similar in their story, you're much more likely to see it. And you go, oh, well, you know, for you, you could do this. And it'll click with you. Oh, that's actually very similar to what I need to do over here. So the key thing is finding that community that you feel fairly safe in. You know, and I wouldn't say don't protect yourself. But you know, if you feel fairly safe in there and you're in a community that's got the right attitude, you know, you can, I would hope that you would not have to worry about your ideas being stolen and passed off. And, you know, the way I tend to illustrate this to people is, well, okay, you know, like I kind of turn it back on you, Seth, like, well, okay, now you're in the Creator's Workshop, which is great. But are you looking around at other people's ideas to steal? I'm thinking probably not. And it's the same. It's the same for everybody else. I hope, you know, I mean, and we certainly have, we've been doing this for a number of years and we've had zero instances of any accusations, of that kind of thing coming up. And that's part of the collaborative nature of a workshop and of a community that you can rely on and trust. Now, again, I can't guarantee that an idea won't be stolen because I'm not all the people in the workshop. But yeah, I mean, I have not seen this be a big problem all my time at Marvel, my time at IDW, and my time since. I have not seen this be an issue. And it even goes for things like, you know, work for hire stuff. You know, I mean, if when I was at Marvel, I would hire somebody to do a Captain America story. They weren't running around thinking, whose Captain America story can I steal? They were like, hey, I love Captain America. What can I do with him that's a little different? Or what's my take on Captain America? They aren't going, you know, I don't hire, you know, Chris Gage and him think, oh, what's Ed Brubaker's idea? Let me do that. You know, Brubaker does Brubaker's idea. Gage does Gage's idea. You know, that kind of a thing. So my hope and my belief is that you shouldn't and wouldn't have to protect your work that tightly. I would never advise someone not to protect their work. Absolutely. I mean, you know, better safe than sorry, sort of a scenario. But yeah, and one of the things too is if you're so guarded that you don't want to share your work because you're afraid of it being stolen, that makes it a lot harder to improve your skills. You know, the way you get better is by sharing things with other people and getting the feedback. That's a very a powerful way for you to improve. And if you don't feel comfortable sharing your ideas, I'm not saying like, hey, come onto the workshop and just share everything right away. Start small, you know, and get that trust in the community. You know, start getting feedback and building that trust and make sure that you actually trust it before you start, you know, throwing tons of stuff in there. But yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. And with artists, you know, having the scans of things and you know, the copyright, you can do that as well. For artwork, you can submit that for copyright protection as well. So all of those same things hold true. But again, you know, if somebody's afraid, you know, if an artist is afraid to show their pages in the community because they're afraid somebody else is going to take the pages and then pass it off as their work, well, two things happen. One is, let's say that guy that is lying, that's his work, gets hired. Well, now he has to produce work that looks like that. So he's going to get found out real fast. And the other guy's going to call him out on that real fast. And by sharing the work, by sharing the art with the community, assuming that doesn't happen, you're going to get feedback on those pages. And it's going to allow you to continue to make better and better pages. Whereas the person stealing work is never going to get any better. They're never going to be able to improve.
And if you're approaching it from a concern about collaborating with others to actually do the production of the work, you assume you're going into any relationship, even if you're doing an intellectual property split and making something creator-owned, that you'll both have contracts if you're working with an artist or if an artist is working with a writer. So there should be a clear breakdown of who's doing what and how, and we're sharing this property, sharing this idea. So if that's a concern, make sure you have contracts with everybody you're working with. If it's something that's boilerplate that you modify to fit your particular situation, I know, again, not a lawyer either, there are certain things you can find online, and there are resources that are talked about in the Creators Workshop that you can use to modify your contracts after, or if you do seek legal help. One term that I've learned is having a lawyer redline your contracts. It's a more inexpensive way to start that conversation where you have someone look at your contract and redline what they think might be sticking points or they have questions about. That's not them negotiating a contract for you or creating a contract for you. That's them pointing out some things to ask some questions.
Yeah, I mean, we just did a workshop actually last night. We did a workshop where, you know, we talked about specifically the deals, how to create a good business deal between creators, and it was all about, you know, how do you figure out what the right percentage splits are and how do you do all this sort of stuff. So there's a lot of tools. I mean, that's a huge discussion. We spent like an hour and a half last night going through it, looking at spreadsheets. It was awesome. Everybody loves looking at spreadsheets, but really kind of getting to the crux of that and And you know, we could have gone for six more hours. So there's it's a discussion that's always evolving. But yeah, that's a whole other aspect. Is you know, how do you trust your collaborative partners, and how do you build that trust in creatively, but also in a business sense as well.
Yeah, and we talked about it last episode. Something that is upcoming with the Commons Experience is the Joe Sergi's Creator Law class, and I actually got to see Joe talk in Chicago about this same topic, and it was an hour that was packed with information, and frankly, it was one of the better panels I've ever been to, just because of how much and how valuable it was. And when you start to think about the per hour cost of getting legal advice and being able to raise your hand and go, hey, I have a question about, it was such a great thing to see in person and see the range of questions that people had, much like your question, Seth, about how do I do this? I'm just getting into it and I want to make sure. And I know Joe's class is coming up, and that's something to definitely take a look at.
Yeah, Joe's class, The Comic Book Law for Creators. To my knowledge, there's no other place where you can get this information in this way, where it really is being talked about in terms of you are a creator, and so you need to know this about the law, this about contracts, this about trademarks. It goes over all of this great stuff. It starts at the end of October, and it's a six-week course. Joe is an attorney who is amazing, but one of the reasons I like that it is Joe teaching it is that he is not working specifically in intellectual property, so you don't get a sales pitch at the end. The course isn't designed for you to hire Joe. The course is designed so that you can spend as little money on attorneys as possible and keep your creative freedom intact. And it's a course that I just, you know, I wish I could like call up all my freelancer friends and say, here, attend this course, because everyone I know should attend this course. But of course, it's also, it doesn't sound like a lot of fun. It just sounds really useful. It's one of those things, I think we all ran into this in high school and college, right? If you're fortunate enough to be able to go to a university level, you take the courses that sound cool, not always the courses that are going to be the most useful to you. I had proposed a course when I was living in New York City with Klaus Janson. He and I proposed a course at SVA that was all about the business of being an artist. And Klaus has been a regular professor there for years. And we proposed this course about, setting up an LLC, or how do you incorporate yourself, or all this stuff. How do you do your taxes on a quarterly basis?
Right.
All this stuff, right, that artists and creative people that if they're going to be freelancers, they need to know this stuff. And the feedback we got from SVA was like, yeah, nobody will take that class. It's like, but it should be a required class. Why should these people, graduate and then find out on the fly? But anyway,
that's what you read about when somebody's breaking in and then starts to have a successful year. At the end of the year, they realize just basic tax information that they didn't have at the beginning of the year, because you never look for it because you don't think about it. And that's the two things that when we started our company, I have a video production motion design company, and the two things I tell interns that I wish I had done differently and known when in college was taking business courses and seeing an accountant and lawyer like the first day, and just seeing them the first day, because two years retroactively, you make a lot of mistakes. And it's certainly something worth your time and attention. And Seth, it's great to hear that you're concerned about it and working your way towards getting some answers. And I think you're on a good path. If you've got questions we can answer on the Make Comics podcast, you can send them into info@comicsexperience.com, and we will talk about them here. And until next time, keep making comics.